Gracious God, we ask that you would speak to us tonight, that you would be present with us tonight, that you would watch over us tonight. As we turn to your scriptures and as we look for the baby Jesus in our lives, we pray these things in his name. Amen. Author Robert Fulghum tells the story of one of his professors, a wise man whose name was Alexander Papaderos. At the last session on the last morning of a two-week seminar on Greek culture, Dr. Papaderos turned and made the ritual gesture, "Are there any other questions?" Quiet quilted the room. These 2 weeks had generated more than enough questions for a lifetime, but now there was only silence. "No questions?" Papaderos swept the room with his eyes. So I asked, "Dr. Papaderos, what's the meaning of life?" The usual laughter followed and people stirred to go. Papaderos held up his hand and stilled the room and looked at me for a long time, asking with his eyes if I was serious. And seeing from my eyes that I was, I'll answer the question. Taking his wallet out of his hip pocket, he fished into a leather billfold and brought out a very small, round mirror about the size of a quarter. And what he said went something like this. "When I was a small child, during the war, we were very poor and we lived in a remote village. One day on the road, I found the broken pieces of a mirror. A German motorcycle had been wrecked in that place. I tried to find all the pieces to put them together, but it was not possible. So I just kept the largest piece, this one. And by scratching it on a stone, I made it round. I began to play with it as a toy and became fascinated by the fact that I could reflect light into dark places where the sun would never shine, in deep holes and crevices and dark closets. It became a game for me to get the light into the most inaccessible places I could find. I kept the little mirror, and as I went about growing up, I would take it out in idle moments and continue the challenge of the game. As I became a man, I grew to understand that this was not just a child's game, but maybe even a metaphor for what I might do with my life. I came to understand that I am not the light or the source of the light, but light, truth, understanding, knowledge is there, and it will only shine in many dark places if I reflect it. I am a fragment of a mirror whose design and shape I do not know. Nevertheless, with what I have, I can reflect light into the dark places of this world, into the black places in the hearts of men, and change something in some people some of the time. Perhaps others may do likewise. This is what I'm about. This is the meaning of life." And then he took his small mirror and, holding it ever so carefully, he caught the bright rays of daylight streaming into the classroom and through the window, and he reflected it into my face and onto my folded hands on my desk. Now, I would expand on that idea of light being truth and understanding and knowledge to something even bigger, something grander, something more important, maybe even something more luminous, much brighter, with much more gravitas and glory. But I think the concept is still good and helpful. Interestingly, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says something very similar. It says, "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." We who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory. You see, this is our role too, to not just let our little light shine, but to shine his light, to reflect his glory, to share his presence into the darkness and the gloom. And this is why we're here. This is what we've been waiting for. This is what we've been preparing for in this Advent season. Because, of course, we haven't been getting ready only for the Christmas holiday. We've been getting ready for the coming of the light of the world, which is what we are here to celebrate tonight. Because remember, as we've been talking about, Christmas is about much more than family and presents and trees. It's even more about a baby born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And surprisingly, it's even about more than Jesus' resurrection and redemption, which is what we celebrate at Easter time. Instead, what brings us here tonight and what we celebrate tonight is the incarnation, the idea that God came to us in the flesh, fully God and fully human. In other words, God wasn't just pretending to be one of us. He didn't just dress up like one of us. He wasn't simply an image that sort of resembled us. He didn't wholly give up his godhood either, but somehow he stayed fully God and became fully human at the same time in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. This is the miracle. This is the gift. This is the point of Christmas, which means that God humbled himself, lowered himself, constrained himself so that he could become one of us. And what's even more surprising, of course, is that he did, so that he could become one of us. He could be with us. Which brings us to our Christmas passage this year in the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 18, or verse 1 through 18. And this is the beginning of the Gospel of John. Before I read, I do want to point out at the outset what will be revealed somewhere in the middle of the passage, which is that the Word turns out to be Jesus. But let's read. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all those who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father. He made him known." Amen. Our passage tonight starts out cryptically enough, but then in verse 14, we find out not only what we're talking about, but who. The Word is the Son, the one who made his dwelling among us, the one who is God, the one who is full of grace and truth. And this is the one who, with God and is God, was in the beginning, before even creation. What's more, this passage really ties everything that we've been talking about in Advent together so far. We started this Advent with Isaiah 9, which read, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." And in tonight's passage, we see the same imagery of a light shining out in the darkness, and the darkness can't overcome it. 3 weeks ago, we talked about the knowledge and fear of the Lord. Tonight, we see that in our last verse. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship, has made God known. 2 weeks ago, we read the whole story of the Bible very, very quickly, and we saw about God's deep desire to be with us. Despite our sinning, despite our distractions, despite us often wandering away, tonight in Jesus, he came to us as one of us so that he could be with us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Here again, we see God's constant and continuous movements toward us. Last Sunday, we looked beyond the Advent story and saw the incarnation brings us into the family of God as children of God, and we heard that in tonight's passage as well. And so let's see if we can tie everything briefly together even more tonight. To that end, let's look back at our passage and look at how God is calling us to recognize the light, receive the light, and finally reflect the light, because I hope this will tie everything together. And we begin by simply talking about recognizing the light, because of course there's a problem. We have a tendency to not even see what's in our midst. Our passage tells us that the light and life came into the world, but we didn't recognize it. And this is the hard, if unsurprising, truth of our passage. Even though someone was pointing out this new reality, even though the world was made through this light, even though we were his own, we still didn't see. They missed the light in their midst. And yet, of course, it's something that sometimes we do as well. It's worth thinking about why they and we have so much trouble with this. Though I think the problem of recognition often has to do with attention and intention. We simply aren't aware of, we simply aren't looking for the light among us. That said, the other side of the problem, of course, that we all experience is darkness. The darkness of exhaustion, the darkness of angst, the darkness of fear, the darkness of frustration, the darkness of sadness. We see how we want to be, and then we become frustrated with how we are. We search for more life and wonder why we can't find it. We long for the things to be different and yet grow frustrated that they aren't. The problem for us, too, is often darkness. And we don't often know how to pursue the light. It's interesting that our passage somehow conjoins light and life. The life is the light of humankind, and maybe it's that life that then shines out in the darkness. Our passage reads, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind." The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness hasn't overcome it. It strikes me that there's something appealing about this, to experience more light, more life in our lives. Of course, our passage is clear on who that light is. It's not us, as if we could be that light. Instead, it's up to us to find that light. Which brings us to the second theme of our passage, which is receiving the light. Because, of course, we have a choice in how we receive him, of how we believe in him. Though, frankly, this word may even be misleading. Our passage tells us to believe in his name. But that doesn't mean we're supposed to believe he has a name. Of course, he does. It doesn't even mean we're supposed to believe he existed. But really, this probably could better be translated, we are to believe into his name. Believe into his name. That's awkward phrasing, I understand. But one commentator that I was reading reminded us that there's a silly movie from some years back entitled, "He's Just Not That Into You." It's that into. We are to believe into Jesus' name. And as we do, we receive him. And don't make receiving more than it is. This is simply like being open to him, turning toward him, welcoming him in. And to get at this, it might be helpful for us to think about receiving in a particular context that we understand better in this particular season. And so I have a little game for you, a little challenge, a little quiz for you. Because, of course, around this time of year, in this special season, we get a certain visitor around our neighborhood, at least. It's someone special, someone who often brings packages, even presents sometimes. I mean, there we are inside our home. When out on the lawn there arises such a clatter, we jump to the door to see what was the matter. And as we peer out the window, we see a little old driver, so lively and quick, a bundle of toys flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his sack. You know who I'm talking about. In fact, let's, on the count of three, we'll all say the name together. 1, 2, 3. The FedEx guy. you guys live in a weird neighborhood. For us, it's the UPS guy or the FedEx guy or the mailman who drives through. That's weird. The little old driver, so lively and quick. It's obvious who this is talking about. He wears brown most of the time. But the question is, how do we then receive from them? Well, of course, it's helpful to remember and think about the fact that if you're around, you simply open the door. You simply pick up the package, maybe sign for the package, and then take it inside. But you also notice you have a choice in how you receive things. You can open the door and welcome them, graciously thanking them for the package, or you can simply just wait till they're gone and then quickly reach out and snatch it and squirrel it away. There's different ways to receive, and clearly that would change our response. Which brings us at last to the final point, reflecting the light, or even in the words of this passage, giving witness to the light. Because, of course, light is meant to shine. In other words, it doesn't actually do much good for us to just have the light inside of us. It really starts to do work, to do good, when it shines out of us, out to others, out into the world, out as not just light, but life. Frankly, it's what I love about the mirror story that we began with. It's up to us to reflect the light, not to be the light. Notice it takes just as much work to make sure we're oriented toward and focused on and moved in the right direction. And yet it also removes some of the pressure of trying to generate some kind of internal life, especially as we feel stressed or upset or afraid. Because the reality is that it's His light that we are trying to shine forth. And therefore, it's up to us to change our direction, our orientation, our proximity to God so that His light can shine through us. As a reminder of all this, hopefully, I'm hoping you picked up one of these little small mirrors. As a reminder that it's our job to reflect His light into the world. It's worth pointing out that when you look at this in daylight or inside at some point, there's actually a film on top of this mirror. You'll have to pull the film off to make it more reflective. I wonder if there aren't other things we could do to make our own lives more reflective of His light. But of course, it's worth remembering that it is His light that gives us hope, because it reminds us that no matter how dark the darkness is, His light can and does always shine out and through and forth. If you would join me now in prayer. Gracious God, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for the light of the world, because it's for Him and because of Him that we are here tonight. We pray that we would do better at shining His light forth, not trying to generate some kind of false light from inside of us, but being closer to Him, such that His light might be seen in us, through us, out from us. And so, Lord God, we thank You that we can gather as Your church family, as Your children, here in this place, as we worship You and celebrate You on this Christmas Eve night. We thank You, Lord, for who You are. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.